Good morning, Denny.
Morning, gents. Pup, I'm really sorry about everything that's happened over the last 48 hours. I know you'd be hurting, and yeah, it's a tough time for you, mate. I'm thinking of you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Well, run us through, Denny, the last, I guess, what, 72 hours there at Canterbury. Because how did you see it all unfold? Because across different news organisations, some people telling it differently. So how did you see it?
It's always an interesting story when Gus is involved, isn't it? It's always got people's opinions, and everyone's got a different view on things. Look, I got mail last week that the board had definitely started to really turn on Trent Barrett. And I think that in coming weeks, we'll see perhaps evidence of how much they were turning. And I wrote a column on Sunday in the Sun Herald saying that they were definitely, fragile about the situation and things were ready to roll. And I also said that Phil Gould would definitely not be sacking Trent Barrett because I heard that he was on the verge of quitting. And as it transpired, that loss, a bad loss, to Newcastle on top of a loss to Canberra. They're games that the club really expected to do better in and win. And I think those losses just meant that everything the board was fearing had come true, that Trent Barrett could no longer inspire or get things out of that football team that they were hoping he'd do. We've now heard about the emotional phone call between Barrett and Gus, and people are going to speculate that Trent Barrett was pushed. Well, from what I've been told, and I can only tell you what I've been told, is that it was Trent's decision, and Gus was still of the view that Trent would be coaching this week, and they had meetings planned around that. There was going to be talks between players and officials and players and the coach and to try and get things on track. However, I think it just got too much for Trent Barrett. I think that he started to really feel that pressure. I interviewed him last week and asked him whether he still wanted to coach, and he was quite defiant. At that point, he was saying that he felt he could coach on, but he was lost for answers in that press conference after the loss to Newcastle. And I think everybody, or people sort of who are aware of the machinations behind the scenes, knew that the end was near for Trent Barrett. And you know what? Trent Barrett has a roster that is definitely not beyond a... It's not a top 12 roster, I don't think. But the problem in my eyes, and I've been saying it all year to you guys and elsewhere, is that they're just not improving. And they weren't responding. And I don't think it's a good roster. I don't think they bought really well. I think they're weak in key positions. And I think you're going to see major changes to that roster, obviously, as well as a new coach.
Yeah, to me, it just didn't seem like a balanced roster, a roster that was put together with a strategic plan in mind. It was just a matter of grabbing who they possibly could get. Clarkie asked me this one this morning, Denny. I don't know whether you know it all or don't know what legal ramifications that it can have, but if you sign a player under the... situation that you think a certain person is going to be coach. So, talk about Reid Marnie and Kickow and these type of guys going to Cronulla because of Trent being the coach. How does it all change now if he's not the coach moving on next year? Would they have clauses or what's the story?
Well, first of all, I asked this question of Gus on the news last night in a live interview, and he sort of deflected from it, as he's very good at. He deflects better than a test cricketer. Look, my view is this, right? I think there would be some concerns about it. I particularly think that, you know, Billy Kickow, he played with Trent Barrett as an assistant, didn't he? So I think that those players might be waking up today or thinking or would have heard the news yesterday and would be thinking, okay, have I done the right thing? I don't think, well, okay, I'd be surprised if anyone at Canterbury would have signed those two players and allowed a clause, a Trent Barrett-style clause in their contract, given the fragile nature of the Bulldogs at the moment. If they've done that, then they deserve to wear the consequences of anything that those players decide. You know, I think if a player came to a club and said, listen, I really now have second thoughts about what I've done, despite the fact that I'm getting paid a huge amount of money to come to your club, you'd have to listen to them, because you don't want a player at your club who has hesitancy about being there. And that could well happen. I mean, you can't rule this in rugby league. You can't rule anything out.
How do you go to a club like this, Danny? How now, as a player or a coach, can you take anyone's word that you go to the club and you're going to get your contract on it? Like, to me, Gus 2 weeks ago, he's saying that Trent Barrett will coach long after he's gone. Trent Barrett's now gone. So if Gus is not making the calls and Trent Barrett's not making the call, like, as a player or a staff member, how do you have any confidence in the club that, you know, you stuff up once, twice, whatever, your contract can be ripped up and thrown in front of you?
Pop, I don't think the Bulldogs are a stable club at the moment. Yeah. As you could tell, I mean, they haven't been. I think Gus said last night that it's been 5 years of this, and he hopes that this is now rock bottom for the club, because it can't get much worse. I mean, they've bought players who aren't the right players. A coach has left in whatever circumstance anybody wants to interpret it. He's no longer there, and he probably isn't going to get a top coaching job in charge of a first grade team on his own again. Players' careers have gone have gone backwards. I mean, I don't know too many players who have gone to the Bulldogs and improved too much over that in that 5 year period. I'm sure I'll be corrected on that, but just speaking broadly, you go to a Melbourne club and you improve, don't you? Look, Nick Meaney left the Dogs and he wasn't really setting the world on fire there, and suddenly he's a top liner at Melbourne. You know, so
Remus Smith.
At the moment, at the moment, there's nothing fabulous about the Dogs, and Gus has to turn that around. He knows that, and it's a huge job. It is a massive job, and it's going to take someone with a lot of backbone to coach that side.
Yeah, I think it needs an experienced coach. I know, reading in the papers today, they're saying that Gus wants Cameron Ciraldo. What's the chances of Ciraldo leaving Penrith, do you think, to go to the Bulldogs? And the usual names are getting mentioned, Flanagan, Green, Wolf. What type of coach do you think they need, and what type of coach do you think they might end up with?
Laurie, I've asked Gus that same question, I reckon, 20 times in the last few hours, the last day or two, or since it's all happened, you know. And he's not giving me an answer, other than he's saying he wants an experienced coach. Gus has a very close relationship with Cameron Ciraldo, but he's saying he wants an experienced coach. And I don't know whether Gus would put Cameron Ciraldo in the position to coach the Bulldogs, because right now it's not a good club to coach. It's going to need someone who's been there, done that, and can wear probably another 18 months of tough results. Whether that's a Flano, I don't know. Paul Green, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if those guys are necessarily who they're going to end up with. Yeah, there's a left field discussion around Michael Maguire ending up at the Bulldogs.
Freddie's name's been mentioned, but he wouldn't leave Origin and Channel 9, would he?
I asked Freddie this yesterday, and he said, "I've got a team to coach. Thank you."
Yeah, I thought that'd be the answer.
look, Fred. Like, okay, just say you're Freddie, right? Are you gonna financially? You're gonna be better off if you go to the Bulldogs, sure, but not much in
no.
this position.
No,
like we're talking, you know, minimal amount. So would he only have to want to do it for the challenge? And Freddie has never backed away from a challenge, but. I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, it's a really tough position. Laurie, would you do it?
No.
I wouldn't go near it.
No. I wouldn't coach. There you go. I'm not just saying that about the Bulldogs, but I wouldn't.
But objectively, if you're just taking a step back and if you're a coach on the rise, a young coach, would you do it?
No.
I
would say to Cameron Serraldo, stay well clear. I think because he's got the perfect opportunity to sit back where he is and have first selection of the team that he wants rather than taking the first job offered to him. That'd be my advice to him. He's only young. Learn as much as you can. Stay in the system and then... when you're ready to take on a big position, do it with your timing and when you're totally ready to do it. Just don't jump in to start with. Whoever they go with, there's always going to be some question marks, isn't there? Regardless, if you look at
a really qualified bloke like Shane Flanagan, right? He's got Kyle there. I mean, that's an instant situation that's going to attract huge amount of attention, and it's going to be not something that's easy to deal with. I know Flano is a professional guy, and he would only pick his best team. However, it's not an ideal situation. Paul Green, he didn't leave with player support of the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
It's none of it's easy. Mate, you know what? If it's never going to happen, but Gus would be the best person to coach him. Never going to happen. He says it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mate, he probably is, to be truthful. He probably is. I mean, I even said this morning, and Christian Wolf, I think, would be a wonderful coach. But the issue I would have with Christian would be he's coaching over there in England with the best side, with the best roster. So he hasn't had to really experience any of the learnings that all the trappings that come with being being a head coach and riding the highs and the lows. It's all been high for him.
I'd imagine the criticism that comes with coaching an NRL team is a lot different to coaching over there as well.
Mm. Loz, would you do it if you're someone like Ricky Stewart?
No. Are you hearing that or are you just tossing that up?
I'm just one, Ricky's got his critics down in Canberra. Mm. I don't know, like Gus and Ricky, you've got to.
I wouldn't think so. I think that Ricky wants to sort of start rebuilding the
Raiders
again.
There'll be coaches
again.
That want it, though.
Oh, there will be. But
who said openly that they want to coach and they'd do it? Jeff Toovey, for example.
Yeah.
He's made it very clear, if you offered him an opportunity, he'd take it on.
Yeah.
So there'll be coaches, that, as hard as we say this is going to be for anyone, there'll be coaches that say, you know what? I'm willing to take that risk. If I get sacked in 6 months, I don't care.
Yeah, no,
job for them.
There would be coaches out there, and I'm sure that guys like Flanagan and Green would want it too. Mate. They've been sitting on the sideline for the last couple of years, wanting another crack at it.
Yep.
But whether it's the right fit, because for those guys too, if it doesn't work,
career's over.
Career's gone.
Yep.
There's no coming back.
Just before you go, Denny, I know you've been tracking, as we all have, the progress of Joseph Suaalii over the last 18 months or so. What do you make of his performance there against Parramatta on the weekend?
Look, we're now starting to see that the hype was real. And look, he is out of the box, this young bloke. He's a fantastic athlete. I know there were a lot of positive things to come out of Magic Round, and we haven't talked about those today because of this story, but You know, the Cowboys player pass was, I've forgotten his name right now, but that was unbelievable. And then the Suwali leap was fantastic. I mean, that I reckon he's origin material within 2 years. That's how good he is. He's showing resilience, toughness. He's a young man. He does the tough stuff. He's not afraid of it. And he's got a fire in his belly that I didn't know he had. So he's got representative football written all over him.
Thank you so much, as always, mate.
No worries, guys.